Welcome to Group Quest, the new roundtable podcast from All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. Join Medbros as he gathers a strong group of voices from around the community to tackle the hottest topics of the month. And now, your host, Medbros.
Welcome, everybody, to a new and exciting podcast from All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medbros. This is Group Quest. It is our roundtable podcast, just trying to discuss a little bit about World of Warcraft, some theories, ideas, news that doesn't get a lot of discussion on your normal news podcast, like All Things Azeroth. We're going to have a monthly podcast here. It's going to be a number of different people each time, probably three or four people in each conversation, and we do hope to bring you some exciting conversation, some good theories, and some fresh new ideas. So the first person I'm inviting into the group here is Kisless. She is from the Kisless, why don't you tell everybody where you're from and a little bit about your character?
Hello everyone, I'm Kisless, a Prospect Pally, currently playing on Kill Jaden. I have been made famous, I suppose, by the WoW A comic done by Kadistra, my friend.
And next we'll invite Lou. How you doing, Lou?
Pretty good.
Why don't you tell everybody about yourself and where you play at?
Well, my name's Lou Gallardi. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Go Pens! And I currently play on both the Argent Dawn server on the Alliance side with Medbros, and I play on the Earthen Ring server on the Horde. I currently play Victor, a level 10 Blood Elf Hunter.
And lastly, we're going to bring in Sinful Priest, who is another longtime listener of the All Things Azeroth podcast. How you doing there, Sin?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent. Tell everybody about yourself and give yourself an introduction.
All right, well, I am obviously, as he quoted, Sinful Priest. He's a priest, and he is not Shadow, as one would think from the name. He is holy. And I'm an Aldemon server. Alliance, sorry for all you Hordies out there. And I am from Jersey, just outside New York City.
All right. And is everybody excited for an exciting and thrilling new podcast from All Things Azeroth?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having us in the group.
Awesome. Well, let's start with the topic that is hitting all of us very hard. What does everybody think about these new patterns of a patch and then a bunch of hot fixes and restarts every day for seemingly weeks on end, and then another patch and then repeating the cycle? Why don't we start with you, Kisless? What do you think of this pattern that Blizzard has gotten into?
As a relatively casual player, I find it a bit too much. I find that I don't get to enjoy the content, and I also find that I need to relearn how to play my character, like, once a week. Especially once Ulduar started and all that, it was just, like, every second day I had to respec from scratch and learn how to play my character. I think it's a bit much, personally.
All right, and Lou, you seem to play fairly casually as well. Does it hit you very much seeing all these frequent restarts to the realms at 5 a.m.
No, not really. I believe that whatever Blizzard has to do to improve the game, whether it's a hot fix and then a patch, or a patch and a couple of hot fixes, they're just trying to improve the game and improve the gameplay for mistakes that they may have made themselves or just something that happens by accident in the game. I mean... Blizzard's philosophy always is it'll be done when it's done. And if that means they have to continue to bring out hot fixes and patches and hot fixes to the patches and hot fixes to the hot fixes, well, as long as they're improving the gameplay, I'm all for it.
That's a very good point. I mean, it is in an effort to fix the problems that happen. And it is good to see them reacting like they do. Now, I guess the question I have is, can't they fix that on the PTRs? Isn't that the reason why we have the PTRs? What do you think, Charles? sinful?
Well, I was actually about to say, you know, obviously this is a direct result of them not having this big patch on the PTRs long enough. But at the same time, you know, if they got to fix what they got to fix, then they're doing it at the right time when 1% of 1% of their players are playing. So I don't see it's a big inconvenience for players unless you're, like, living in China being a gold farmer and playing on American servers.
Well, to be on the fair side, though, there's a lot of Australian players. Oh, go ahead, Lou.
That's true.
Well, I was going to argue as far as having the patch on the PTRs, when is enough enough? I mean, you can only have the patches and the fixes and everything on the PTR long enough to get it done before players start grumbling that there's not enough content here or not enough content there. I think therein lies the problem, is Blizzard is trying to cater to these players and they're bringing things out faster than it's expected, or they get players that gripe. But if they bring it out too fast, then they get players that gripe. I think it's the player base instead of Blizzard that causes most of the problems.
My question to them would be, are they doing the fixes because players are complaining or because they have some sort of higher vision to what the game should be? I mean, I've noticed a lot of changes being made just to cater to the complaints.
Well, here's my perspective, I think, is that we are in a time where, and we're dealing with a company that is very adamant, no matter how many times we ask about it, on the "it's done when it's done, it'll be ready when it's ready" perspective. Now, does anybody else think that they aren't quite holding themselves to that standard these days? It seems to me, or feels to me, like they are releasing it when they want it done, or when players want it out, not when it's ready. And that's a little bit disappointing for somebody who's been a fan of Blizzard for so long.
In this, I agree with you. I feel like they're definitely, they're not ready when they're releasing it, so they're patching the patches that they have to patch in order to patch it.
See, I would agree that they're bringing it out when the players demand it, because, I mean, if you don't, who's going to pay your subscription fees?
Do you think that Blizzard would really lose that many subscriptions if they waited another couple of weeks on the Eldwar patch?
I think they would lose a lot of hardcore raiders. I don't think they would lose so much casual players like, say, me and Kissless, but they would lose a lot of those hardcore, absolutely have to get everything done in the game as soon as possible raiders.
Okay, but, I mean, much like they...
Yeah, but they wouldn't have lost...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Sinful.
I was just going to say, they wouldn't have lost those dollars. I mean, those hardcore raiders are just quitting until something comes out. I don't think the dollars are gone, personally.
I would have to agree. I mean, just like they do the restarts at a point when 5% are playing, those raiders are 5% of the game. They are not the majority of the players. I guess my perspective would be that
right,
they need to take into consideration the mass as a whole, not just a small portion that are complaining because they're hardcore raiders and they want new content.
Right, but you have to look at that 5% of 11 million across the globe. It's not 5% just in the United States. It's 5% in the United States, 5% in... It's 5% in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, in Australia, in Asia, farming the gold. It's not just one central location. I think that's the problem Blizzard has.
Would they really stop playing, though? Like, the hardcore players, would they really, like throw in the towel because it took an extra week? I don't know. I mean, my friend who got me into the game was completely hardcore, and... I don't know. I don't think he would have thrown in the towel. He would have waited a week. He would have, like, farmed, rep or something.
Well, see, someone would argue that he's not really hardcore then.
Because he's not already exalted with everything?
Pretty much.
See,
Maybe,
really goes back to,
I mean, that...
how do you define hardcore? I mean, I've written blog posts about this in the past. Really... The fact that I played at one point in time for 30 to 40 hours in a week, that's considered by many to be very hardcore, but it wasn't, in my opinion, hardcore because I wasn't raiding and I wasn't doing all of this thing. I was just enjoying the game and playing as I play. So how do you define hardcore?
Yeah, I guess that's where the problem is. For me, the hardcore players are the ones that have, like, purple slots in everything, in all, like, the vengeful gladiator sets from, like, every single tier. They have all the achievements for all the heroics. For me, that's hardcore.
What do you think of that, Charles? What do you think of these definitions of a hardcore?
You know, nowadays, I think the definition of hardcore is anybody that raids more than 4 nights a week. That's what it's come down to. I mean, if you'd been around 4 years ago, then that's what it would have come down to. Now, hardcore could be that guy that is on for every holiday achievement, and he's also raiding, and he's also getting exalted and getting that insane achievement, which is absolutely insane.
That's a very good point. I mean, it's really up to each person to decide what they consider to be hardcore, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But and the hardcore people are the ones who can gank me even though they're like three levels below me. Grr.
That just means they're better than you.
Oh.
Hey, I am on TV spec.
I'm just messing with you. It's just a matter of perspective and what you consider to be appropriate for you. I mean, even Blizzard says everything in moderation, including World of Warcraft.
It's true.
I guess my perspective is just
I've heard
different,
there's like this. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I've heard there's this big fireball in the sky sometimes. It comes and goes, they say.
Yeah, really? The day sun is really, really harmful. I would avoid it.
Yeah, I don't go and see it. It's a rumor.
Ether Jammer in our chat room is actually saying, I'm not sure hardcore versus casual is as useful as a comparison as community-oriented versus self-oriented. What do you guys think about that?
Personally, I'm a solo player, but I wouldn't consider myself hardcore. Like, I do run instances with my guild, and I help my low-level guildies level up and everything, but I still sometimes, most of the times, prefer to level up solo or to quest solo. It's just, I'm not much of a community-oriented person.
See, I see those terms as just another way of saying the same thing. I mean, the casual player, in my opinion, would be the more community-oriented player. Not to say that a casual player can't be self-oriented, but I think a casual player would be more community-oriented in let's get together, let's group, let's just have fun, whereas a quote-unquote hardcore player would be more self-oriented. I gotta get these shards, or I gotta get this epic whatever is in the game. It's all about me.
That's a good point.
Simple, any thoughts from you there?
That's a hard choice to make. Like you said, it's all perspective. I mean, I'm on this game, like, way too much. You call me addicted if you want, and I don't raid 5 nights a week, but I'm on all the time, whether it's on my main or I've one of my 1,000 alts. Does that make me hardcore? Because I'm on all the time? Because it's not all my tunes have all purples, but I'm still on all the time. So how can you determine the difference?
So how would you guys compare this conversation with? I mean, the conversation to some people breaks down to: is this a game or is this a job? Now my perspective is: unless you're Insidia, this is a game. They get paid to play the game. We don't. We pay to play the game. We put our own time and our own money into this. Does that argument compare to the community versus self-oriented?
I think it does, personally, because the people who approach the game as this is a job, those are the ones who are like, what? You are coming with me to NAX and you don't know all the fights and you're not spec'd and you don't send me the stats and I will check your stats on the armory, compared to, hey, you know, let's do vanilla instances because they're fun, because they're silly, because it's fun to go and kill Onyxia with like three people.
Three? Are you softcore? I mean, come on. Hardcore people use one. I mean, soloing Onyxia, that's hardcore.
Well, you know, that's what I'm talking about. We actually did that just a while ago. I was not level 80 yet, and most of my guild was like in the early 50s to early 60s, and we went and we wiped like, I don't know, five times against Onyxia. Because we weren't built for it. We didn't know what we were doing. But it was fun. No one left feeling bad. Everybody was having fun and laughing.
I'm fairly certain even Ghostcrawler would not call you hardcore for not being 80 yet.
Well, I am 80 now, but...
Lucky.
Oh, well, you know, it is only, you know, 7 months since the game came out. So you might still be hardcore. So... we do have other topics to talk about. One of the ones I wanted to talk about is actually something you just brought up. What do you think about the changes of rating from Vanilla WoW to Wrath? I don't know how many of you have been playing since the game came out, but I've been playing since day one, and rating has changed a great deal from when I started. Rating back then was a 10-man raid to Blackrock Spire.
I'm always going first, so I'm going to let someone else go first here.
I was going to say, I can't really comment too much on rating, but I have noticed that it has changed. I mean, like you said, Medros, it was one thing, now it's something completely different. I mean, it's become... I would say rating has actually become more hardcore than anything. I mean, it went from something simple, let's rate this, let's rate that, to, okay, now you have to know every fight, you have to know every strategy, you have to know every back door into a place. And for a casual player like me, it's having this dumb expression on my face, like, huh? And then you get hardcore players that, oh yeah, you gotta know this before you come into the raid, you gotta know that before you come into the raid, and meanwhile, my head's ready to explode over it. I mean, in Vanilla WoW, which I only got to play for a couple of months before Burning Crusade came out, the raids were simple. Now with Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, it's gotten more complex, and I don't know if a casual player honestly could handle the extremes of the raiding. At least a casual player like me.
Ether Jammer in the chat room does make a good point. He says, part of what I love about raiding is figuring the fights out. Knowing ahead of time what's going to happen is boring. Is it exciting to discover that the fights...
In a way, yes and no. Like, I tried doing the heroic Nexus, I think it was, and then I basically got two-shotted by the dragon because I didn't know I needed to jump constantly. It was like, what? So it was exciting in the way that I'd never seen this giant dragon before, but it wasn't exciting in the way that I caused the entire group to wipe because I was the tank and I didn't know I needed to be a bunny.
Don't blood elves just jump naturally, though? You have the twirl and all, you know.
Watch it.
I kid. Really, would you guys imagine, or what do you think the reaction would be if somebody said, looking for 40 people to attack, I don't know, 40 people to take on Yogg-Saron? Can you guys even imagine the reaction if somebody said they wanted 40 people for a raid these days? That winter wasn't winter.
Isn't Ankiraj? Isn't there still an Ankiraj 40?
There are. I mean, all the 40s are still there. If you want to do Molten Core, if you want to do Ankiraj or Blackwing Lair or Onyxia, it's still 40 man. But you don't really.
You don't really need that. Anymore.
I mean, if you're 80, most of that you can one to five people without a problem. Onyxia is now a five man at worst.
It's true. A friend of mine used to say, "Oh yeah, just take yourself and 40 of your closest friends and go on a raid." I think 40-man raids are a bit much, because the chances of pugging that successfully, yikes.
So
see, I personally miss the 40-man raids. I mean, how exciting is it to get 39 other people and have these two trash mobs in front of you that it takes 40 people to kill? I mean, that was the excitement of raiding back then, was that it took 40 people to down this one thing. And now, I mean, my raiding group was in Naxx when Burning Crusade came out, so I'm comparing Naxx then to Naxx now. I mean, none of the strats have changed, which makes it interesting that you say the fights have come, like, become more complicated, because actually the fights are almost the same. And I go in and I'm like, wow, I remember when it took 40 people to do this, and now 3 people can die and we can still get it down on a 10-man.
So
I admit I've never done a 40-man.
I guess the question I would give in that regard is, yes, 39 other people felt epic, it felt great, it felt huge, but that's assuming you could get the 40-man and not 35 or 20 or 12 or 5. I remember trying to do Megatheridon back, you know, halfway through Burning Crusade, and we struggled to find the 25 people to go in and wipe on the first trash mob, because so few of us were actually geared for any kind of raiding that we just didn't have a chance.
See, that's a problem. I don't think raiding was meant to be pugged in the long run. And what Blizzard has done is they've created fights that are easier so that you can pug them. But back in the day, that was not what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to be part of a guild that actually had this connection, and you had these people, and they went for the same purpose, to defeat something. And nowadays, it's just, hey, is anybody free and not saved? Let's go.
So do you think that that we're in the age of pugging, which takes away from the potential there?
I think you're creating two different scenarios. I mean, you're, like you'll see on the forums, you're upsetting the hardcore people because it's too easy for real organized guilds to do, but you're making that casual player happy. And that's a good thing. I mean, I remember when I was 60, and that was a cap, obviously, until I got into that guild, there was nothing for me to do except to run strat 1,000 times to get my Argent Dawn rep.
And the mount. The mount's important, too.
I still don't have it, damn it.
I gotta go do some Argent Dawn rep to get the Argent guilds. Q champion, so. Okay, oh, Lou.
As far as raiding and guilds and everything, I would actually argue that the Blizzard has actually made it more... has made it easier for guilds to be formed purely for raiding. Like, I know as a low-level player myself, it's hard for me to find a guild other than, say, from a great podcast, such as All Things Azeroth or The Instance, that's more casual in its play style that allows me to enjoy myself with a large group of people. Because half the time when you're on a server, all you see is... oh, this guild's recruiting, but we're only recruiting this level and this class, and we're only recruiting for this raid and that raid. And me, as a level 10 or a level 11 or even lower, sitting there, well, what about me? You left me behind. Hi.
Yeah, I
disagree
can see that
with
point
you
of
because
view.
If you look around,
yeah, I can see that point of view.
There's a ton of guilds out there that do alt guilds or leveling guilds or whatnot. The only problem with those guilds is when you hit 80, / G quit and go to your raiding guild.
Is that really fair to the guild that got you there, though?
My point.
What was that?
Go ahead, Lou.
Well, I was going to say, I think that actually further proves my point, is the fact that you get an alt guild, you get to 80, and then you leave to go to a raiding guild. Or you have an alt guild that will eventually fall apart anyways, because someone or some ones are going to leave that guild to go to a raiding guild. It seems to me that Blizzard has actually created a situation where if you're not a raider, why are you trying to interact with the rest of the World of Warcraft community?
That's a good point.
I don't know about that. I mean, alt guilds are always going to be there. Leveling guilds are always going to be there, because if you look at the population of any server, 75% of that server is somebody that's 1 through 79.
And the other 75% are Death Knights killing the newbies.
I hate Death Knights.
Exactly.
Oh, don't get me started. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I personally don't like them as a class. I think lore-wise, their story is incredibly well done. But as a class, they should have been... I think it would have been awesome if they were a faction all to themselves. If they were not still Horde or Alliance. They would have been a unifying factor, so that if I'm questing, for example, in Hellfire Peninsula, and I see another ally, I may like, is he going to gag me? But then we both see a Death Knight, and we both can take him. Because I've seen just Death Knights kill things they're not supposed to be able to kill. They're too strong. Okay, I got it out of my system.
I would have to agree. Death Knights are too strong at that level. But that is the intention. They want those players to get through that content quicker so they can get into the Northrend where they aren't that powerful. A guildmate of mine did say one time, after having leveled all the way to 80, he says, as soon as you hit Northrend, your abilities and your benefits start really declining. You are not as overpowered. But yes, up till that point, you are overpowered.
Then why start a level at 55 then? I mean, why start them at that level? If they get a bonus for just, like, zooming through to Northrend, then why put them in a position where they can harass and they will overshadow any other class at that level? We don't get a bonus to skip through Outland and run directly to Northrend content.
Yeah.
Because they're a hero class.
Yeah.
Then I think they should limit them for the numbers, because now they're not hero, they are mobs.
But I don't want to get killed by every...
Yeah, I mean, everyone in...
...little newbie paladin that comes through.
Well, I was going to say, everyone...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems like everyone and their mother has a Death Knight now. And it's... For lower players such as myself, it's ridiculous, because you see, even on the Alliance side, you see a Death Knight in every starter city, or in every second city, and it's annoying... to see these Death Knights doing these quests, or if they're Horde, coming into that area and killing us lowbies one right after the other. I mean, if you wanted a hero class specifically designed to fit in with the expansions, such as Wrath of the Lich King, then like Juice just said in the chat, start them in Northrend. Don't force them to start in the same areas as the rest of us. Either start them in, like, the Outlands and progress them to the Northrend, or just start them off flat out in Northrend.
Okay, but the perspective I would give on that is that they, when you leave the Death Knight starting experience, you are Outlands ready. Your gear and your level should be ready for Outlands. Even if you go from starting your Death Knight to exiting that in one night, you should still be 58 and able to go to Outlands. As for starting them in Northrend, I really do not want Death Knights learning their class. And I'm sorry, but the Death Knight starting experience, as good as it is, does not teach you every aspect of the class. It doesn't teach you what you need to know, and I don't want players learning how to play their game in Northrend. That's why they have Outlands. That's why they are overpowered in Outlands, so they can learn those abilities, so when it does become a point of you need to know your abilities, you have that knowledge, you have that experience from your time in Outlands. That's my perspective on why
you
have
that. Okay, then how about having them as a third faction when they're in Outlands or Azeroth, so that both Horde and Alliance will not be ganked by them? They can team up and fight back.
Admittedly, I don't play on a PvP server, so I really am unsure that I can actually speak very well to that, but I would simply state that... How can I put it? I think Blizzard learned from the mistakes of other MMOs that had multiple factions, that multiple factions just makes for a more unpleasant PvP aspect. Other games may do it very well to have multiple different factions in their PvP, but I really don't think that Blizzard wants to go down that route, because I played one game with multiple they had three or four factions, and it was just confusing. You didn't know who was friendly to you, who was enemy with you, who could attack you, who could not attack you, and it just made for very unpleasant PvP. And I understand your perspective, Kislas. It's a very good and very valid point, but in the end, I don't think that it is something that Blizzard is wanting to do at this point, simply because they don't want to add another angle of complexity to the game.
I agree. I don't see them actually doing it, and when I suggest a third faction, I don't ever expect this to actually happen. But I think something needs to be done. That's what I'm saying, because they've soured the game. In PvP specifically, I don't play much PvE, but they've soured the game somewhat with this unbalanced class, in my opinion.
Now, see, that is quite possibly PvE, true. And do you know how many times? And do you know how many times I've seen Goldshire under attack, and it's always a stupid horde Death Knight? And as a level,
now, is he stupid because he's a Death Knight, or is it because he's horde? No, I'm just joking. Carry on.
And do you know how annoying it gets for me, who has to go to Goldshire to get quests to try the level, and to see the NPCs that have my quests dead because the Death Knight decided to have a little fun?
Is that any different?
I hear you.
Is that any different than a level 80 Hordy coming through and doing that? A level 80 Hordy is going to do
but
it
I've
just
never
as
seen...
easily as a Death Knight.
Well, at least, you know, when it's a level... Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. I've never seen a level... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've never seen a level 80 Hordy come in. I've always seen the Death Knights.
Then you've been very lucky.
I think that it's also a matter of how much of a chance do you have to bring him down. The fellow players in the town, and the guards. But once it's a Death Knight, it just makes it that much more ridiculous to try and bring him down.
All right, so, yeah, it's really a question of timing, I think. I mean, I've seen Alliance attacking Crossroads. I've been Alliance attacking Crossroads. And I've seen Hordies attacking Goldshire. I have seen Hordies barreling from Stranglethorn, over from Swamp of Sharrows, into the Elwynn Forest, and just killing every NPC and every mob in their path. It happens on all sides.
Yeah, and I guess we're kind of digressing from the Death Knight specifically topic and into how much you raid each other and kill each other.
That's very true.
That's always a good topic.
It is. It's very... very appropriate, because everybody experiences it. And Olu, you told us in chat you have a question about our previous topic about patches from Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, this comes from a friend of mine named Alcar. He says, what do you dislike about the current patch system, and how do you think Blizzard could improve it?
More PTR time.
I agree.
I think Blizzard needs to stand by, done when it's done, and to hell with... raiders who whine and people who complain. Release it when it's done and not a second sooner.
Well, on this last patch, they could have not done Argent Crusade or the tournament and Ulduar at the same time. Those are two separate entities, and they could have worked on one at a time if they wanted to, but they chose to pump them through the pipe.
Yeah, precisely. I think they need to stand behind their own words of it's done when it's done, and not a moment sooner.
I have to agree with that, but I think the players also need to back down themselves and realize that Blizzard is going to have it out when it's out. I think the problem lies with the players putting pressure on Blizzard to get something out, and Blizzard's like, okay. And then once Blizzard realizes a problem, that's when they start to fix it. So I think both sides need to realize that Blizzard is going to have it out when it's out. And the only reason why I had it from Twitter is because I've been telling people that if they have questions, to send them to me via Twitter.
All right, well, we'll look forward to any further questions. Now, the next topic I want to talk a bit about is... does a best-in-slot item make everyone pretty much the same in look. Now, the reason I bring this up is there's long been the complaint of, oh, my level 80 paladin who's done all of this stuff looks like every other paladin of the same look, because all the gear looks the same and all this other stuff. But if everybody who is in high-end content is going for best in slot, doesn't that naturally make everybody look the same? Should they maybe make a set, like several different looks, all of which have almost identical stats, all have almost identical rating or quality, and give players the opportunity they can be one of three or four looks based upon their class?
Call me a noob, if you will, but could you please define best in slot?
Anybody else want to answer that question?
No, because I need a definition, too.
All right, well.
I feel a bit better now, thank you.
Really?
Best in slot is basically the best item for that slot based upon your class and spec. So the best trinket for you, the best weapon that's in the game right now for you,
generally
dropping off a boss of Alduar, or if you're a PvPer, then the best PvP item you can get via the arenas or whatever. So basically the best item you can possibly get at this time for your class and spec, basically.
Actually, I was just thinking about that not too long ago when I started doing heroics, and I was awful because I didn't have the defense rating for it. And then people told me, oh, you need to get the Titan Steel shield, and you need to get the Titan Steel this and that, and then you need to get this specific item and this specific item. And after I did get the shield, I noticed that everyone had it. And it kind of, it did kind of make me feel like, no, I want the other shield I had that was just prettier. But that could have been just me.
Well, I like my character
to
look unique.
See, I happen to...
Go ahead.
See, I think that basically people will consider best in slot what's the best and the easiest I can get. So that's why you see everybody with it. You don't go around seeing everybody with the Warglaive of Azanoth on, you see everybody with that shield from heroic Watchdubie on, because that heroic you can do every day.
It's true.
That's a good point.
That's another element of it. Something I always wished they had is some, like, skill in the trade skills. Like when you create the Titan Shield, I wish that you could stand out as a better crafter, and then your armor would look different. That's something I've wanted for forever. Apparently,
see,
I'm the only
one. See,
I
have to say, for me right now, being the low level that I am, which I'm kind of embarrassed to admit right now, but for me, the best in slot thing doesn't matter at the moment. Because my gear's going to look like every other Lobby's gear. It's not going to change. But later on in the levels that I attain, it's going to matter. And I believe that there are two problems. One, yes, the gear all looks the same and it needs to be changed. It needs to be changed based on class, based on spec, but also possibly based on race. The other problem is we're playing a 4 to 5 year old game on 10 year on computers that are in 2009, not 2003, 2004.
The graphical update has been kind of on everybody's minds lately.
I think they need to upgrade the graphics for 2009, 2010. If I wanted to play an old game, I'd go back and play Civ 3 or Roller Coaster Tycoon.
But then there's the people who claim that, oh, but then you're alienating a lot of people who are using laptops, who are using much weaker computers, who play the game and enjoy it and aren't upgrading.
You know,
well, that's what video settings are for in the long
fair
run.
Fair enough. Well, that's what I say.
What you're talking about is them redesigning their engine, and unfortunately they have this one engine that they can work with, and that's it, unless they bring out a whole new game that you could transfer your character to.
Yeah, or do like an entire overhaul and make it several gigs larger.
That's a very good point. I mean, there is always the possibility they could just overhaul the look of it and work from there. Is that not a valid point?
I mean, Sylvanas looks much better now.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm talking is, I want them to do a complete overhaul, from scratch, redo the world, so, you know, maybe I can fly in the world instead of only in Outlands and Northrend.
Ooh, we just got a good question. Does Blizz update requirements too fast? Does it make the requirements for the computers that we play on, do they upgrade them too fast?
No. They have been very well known for making sure that their games can be played on as many computers as possible. I mean, that's why they put out a Mac version right alongside their PC version.
Hell, my brother can play it on his Linux box.
True. But anyways, it's a great conversation we're having, but we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to play a promo.
Hello, this is Fimless. Do you read WoW blogs? Do you write a WoW blog? Do you know what the internet is? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you want to listen to the Twisted Other blogcast. We delve into the topics that you want to know about. For more information, go to www.twistedether.net. See you around the nether.
Sinful, thank you very much for coming on the show. We're going to let you go so we can invite Kadistra onto the show. And we will see you next time on Group Quest. Thanks a lot for coming by.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Hello, everyone. Medros here. Due to some lost audio for the remainder of the show, we'll have to go with the group conversation that we had. Therefore, there may not be the high quality that we'd like of the show from here and going forwards, but we will learn from this and we will persevere. We will provide a better show next time and continue to improve as Group Quest continues. Thank you again for listening, and here's the second half of the show with Kadistra, Lou, Kisless, and myself. Take care. So now added to the group, we have Kadistra, who is the amazing artist behind the WoW A-Comic. You may have heard her recently on my All Things Azeroth podcast. I interviewed her and about her awesome comic. And Kadistra, I did actually want to ask you the question I didn't ask you on the actual interview. What's your inspiration for your comic, for being a comic artist?
I don't know. I've been drawing like from when I was really young, like 7, 8 years old, I used to draw like little half page comics of like Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff. They're horrible, of course. But I don't know. I've always liked comics. They're a really fun way of storytelling. I mean, web comics themselves have become so popular and so accessible in the last 5 or so years. It's something very enjoyable, and I mean, I love the community, and yeah, I am by no means like a good comic artist. I have no layout with comic, like, or I should say I have no training with comic layout or anything like that. I did a bit of storyboarding when I was in school for animation, so that's kind of what I'm pulling from. But I mean, you know, there are people who really know what they're doing. I'm just kind of farting around, but yeah.
Too modest.
Awesome. Now That question aside, and yes, you are far too modest, Kadistra. Tell us a little bit about your character and about yourself.
I am Moo. Kadistra is a level 68 female Tauren Druid. I'm what is my spec? I used to be 100% feral, but now I'm feral and like, oh god, I have like 10 points in Restro. No, something like that. Walking around in Outlands clean Xbox gear, loving it. I'm going to pretty soon enlist some help to do the Undo the Raven Mount quest. Looking forward to that.
I'm there for you.
Thank you. I've never done heroic, Ocean Dawn, whatever.
How do you pronounce that, guys? Maybe you can help me.
I don't know. How do you pronounce half the words in WoW? Tarandi, Tarander, the lady. What's her nuts? I don't know.
Talking dude.
Akindun?
Oh. Wow.
Akindun,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, Ealers, I never...
Yeah.
And as for me, I'm 23 years old. I like drawing stuff and working out. And I work for a company called FitBrains. We make casual games. We train your brain. And I'm going to do a really awful... Go there. It's excellent. yeah, I don't know. I like...
All right. Thank you very much for joining the group here tonight. Now, the next topic that I want to bring up, I'm hoping that the people here will have some insight into this. Blizzard has a lot of lore behind World of Warcraft. They have spent months, if not years, worth of manpower trying to get it just right so that it all works perfectly. Is it wrong of them? Is it hindering the gameplay for Blizzard to include major lore elements like the backstory of King Varian in supplemental products like comics and manga that most players probably don't actually read?
Personally, I think the availability of it outside the game makes it so they don't have to force it down your throat in-game. Because otherwise they'll have to like make a what's it called, quest chain for it. And it's just going to be so lore-heavy, and people have already admitted multiple times that they never actually read the quest themselves. They just kind of go and kill however many Murlocs. So I think it's good, because it allows you to choose whether you want to concentrate on the lore or not. And I have my very own Chibina to display.
So you think that it's better to have it as an option instead of a forced read?
Personally, yes.
What do you think there, Kidistrat?
I would say I agree. I don't know. I think that there's kind of a couple different facets of it, of the idea of the comic. Like, what's his name? Ludo Lullaby after issue 7, he was taken off of the WoW comic, which I thought was a crying shame. But actually, we all found out that he was doing the Ashbringer comic series. And I think the comics are a really nice idea for Blizzard to elaborate on the lore, because, I mean, I know it's not for everybody, but I myself love the lore. And I love the world and the amount of just sheer time and effort and manpower that Blizz has put into it. As for Varian, I mean, it's like, I do agree. I think it's good that the comics are semi-optional reading material. I mean, it's not like, you know, any Blizz player can be like, "Durr, what are the comics?" I mean, if you, for God's sakes, if you go to the forums or even the main site, I mean, there are advertisements plastered everywhere for, you know, WoW comics, blah, blah, get issue this to that at this date. Yeah, awesome. So they're certainly accessible. And, I mean, if anybody wanted to know that much about Variant, then, well, there's WoW Wiki, right? Considering that so many people feign ignorance about, like, Variant's attitude and everything like that, it's like the comic does a pretty good job of fleshing out what you see, but I would not call it necessary to gameplay. I don't know. I think it's a nice option, because, I mean, personally, I hate Varian. I think he's a dink.
Yeah, I think Varian does a pretty good job on himself, making sure everybody knows that he's a jerk.
Yeah, and he also, you know, and also the idea of what happened to him was in-game. I never obviously explored it, but wasn't there the whole, he was on that little island off of Theramore or something? Oh my god, it's full of black dragons. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, in-game? Yeah, so it's
he was there for a while.
Yeah, so it's not like it was a huge mystery of where he was or anything like that, but I think for a character even as important as him, to see that backstory, I think it's okay that that there's the extra product. And also, I'm sorry, if you look at the logistics of it, Blizzard can make more money.
Transmedia's worth that.
Absolutely. I mean, look at, there are tons of video games nowadays that, like Dead Space, and I think this one for Prototype too, that additional comic books are a great source of additional revenue, fleshing out characters, lore, story, anything. So, no, personally, I think it's pretty much okay. Also, if I'm a Chatty McChatterson,
awesome.
I can it.
I have no problem listening to any of you talk. You all are doing an awesome job. So, is it sheer greed, or do you think Blizzard actually has a plan behind all of this? I mean, I don't mind the comics, really,
can I
but
get a word?
I don't know if I want to have to buy those. Oh, I'm sorry, you're still here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
To the original question, I completely forget what the question is now. What was the question again?
Is it better
I
that they
was
keep
I
the
did
lore in game or out of game? Like, what do you think about the whole lore in comics and not in game thing?
Okay, first, I like the idea of the transmedia. I mean, as people keep pointing out, King Varian, I think it is. We know that he was a prisoner on an island off of Theramore, but the game doesn't specifically say what happened to him between then and coming back to Stormwind, unless he says it himself. But the comics actually tell what happened after he was taken off the island to the point that he became King of Stormwind again. And that he was a gladiator fighter in orcish arenas and this thing and that thing. I think that's great. I think it gets fan I get I think it gets people that haven't played the game yet interested in seeing these characters, which might make them play the games. And it gives fans of the games and of the lore a chance to see what happens behind the scenes that we don't necessarily see in game.
It's true, and it can also be in a way on a game design level. Like, let's say the lore writers there are like, "But Varian's story is so lore heavy and it's so cool, we should totally put it in the game." And they're like, "Well, we have the Argent tournament coming up, and we have Ulduar, and we just don't have the time to put in an entire section of the game just to explore his backstory. Let's find another way to get it to the players." It could be, I don't know. That's
Right.
no,
And
you bring up
I
actually a really
mean,
good point. Sorry, go ahead.
well, I was gonna say, and as far as like a player like me, I've never played the Warcraft games. I got started straight in the World of Warcraft. So I know next to nothing about guys like Thrall and Stormwind and Arthas and everything. I have no clue who these people are. I have no clue why we're going to Northrend to fight Arthas, because to me, Arthas and the Lich King seem like two different people. So for WoWWiki and the comics and these books to come out, I'm ignoring that, but for these books and these and everything to come out is wonderful for me. So it gives me a chance to see the lore, to understand the lore, and to even understand the lore from multiple point of views. Like the book that just came out, Arthas. It gives me a great chance to see the man that became the Lich King.
It's true. It's a good point. I didn't think about it.
No, for sure.
You
Like,
know,
I really. Sorry, go ahead.
go ahead.
I know. I was gonna say. I really feel you. Like, because I grew up a more of a console baby than a PC gamer. That was my brother. I definitely knew of the Warcraft series, but I've never actually sat down and played through front to back. So when I started playing WoW and really getting interested, like, yeah, WoW was my actual sit-down introduction to like playing the actual physical game. So when I got really interested in the story and was kind of mulling about the comic and stuff like that, I spent probably close to 50 hours maybe on just over the span of several weeks, if not months, on WoWWiki reading everything, absolutely everything, everything about Thrall and Sylvanas and Arthas and the Lich King and Varian and Anduin and everybody in between from A to Z, front to back. So yes, I very much agree with you that outside sources for people like us who really need it are invaluable.
So I guess now that I think about it, you're right. I mean, I really enjoy the books. They really tell a lot of the backstory that isn't in the game. They're invaluable, really, to making the lore and the story behind this game more. I don't know if important or is worth the term, but more present for me, I guess. Do you think that they will continue to do this? Do you think they'll continue to do magazines or comics and manga and books for the foreseeable future, or do you think they might at some point slow that down? And will that be an indication of maybe a slowdown in WoW itself? I
Personally,
think as
oh, go
long as they
ahead.
No, somebody else go first.
Chad, simple, why don't you go ahead? Or whoever it is that's talking right now.
Sinful. I think that as long as the current graphic novels, manga, whatever you want to call it, continues to sell and continues to sell well, they will continue to bring those things out. When there's a dry up of that market, that's when they'll slow things down. I don't necessarily think it's slowing down in game, because I think Blizzard is trying to keep the books and other paraphernalia different from the game, while at the same time trying to keep them interlinked. I think that when we see a slowdown in the game will be when Blizzard finally admits that they can't think of anything new to do, and they'll move on to World of Warcraft 2.
There's also the movie coming out.
Or maybe move on to unnamed one. Yeah, there is a, right. There is yeah, a movie coming out.
I mean, as
so,
well
so
as
I say out. Here... Oh, go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
What, me?
Whoever was going to talk.
I was going to say that there's also that new unannounced MMO that... I wonder if they're going to say anything at BlizzCon, actually. But yeah, the new unannounced project. So, I mean, not even talking about WoW 2 or anything like that. But, yeah, well, yeah, actually, yeah, a lot of us are Canadians, Lou. I guess you can hear my quick sense for the transmedia. I agree with Senful, and it's really about market, because it's like, it's not, you know, manga and comic production teams are not even anything close to, like, you know, game design or anything like that. You know, you've got your main penciler, probably an intern or two, an inker, maybe one or two interns for him, and then, like, your editors and, you know, all the paper pushing stuff and whatever else. Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I agree that it's the fact that right now it's a pretty easy trans-marketing scheme of Blizzard, and once the market dries up, once people don't are not interested in buying the comics or anything like that, because I mean, it's the comics are still pretty new, like they came up within the last year or so. So, you know, hey, if they sell, then why not? What, there's absolutely no reason to stop them, and there's always going to be viable storylines and artists who are bidding to draw and all sorts of good stuff like that. So, yeah.
Kivister, can you turn your mic up a bit in Skype, please?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're just a bit
yeah, that's why I've,
on my recording.
That's why I said earlier that when we were testing Skype and everything, Blizzard is proof that there are industries that are recession-proof. People continue to go out and buy, whether it's the game, a T-shirt, a comic, the minis, the trading card game, whatever it's mm-hmm. called, or whatever they have out. People continue to buy those things. People continue to look for the Blizzard things. Blizzard is one of those few companies that has money pouring into it. And unlike some people in the chat room are saying, yes, subscribers may have been flat for a few months, but you have to understand, Blizzard isn't a company that's based solely on its subscribers. It's based on the subscribers mm-hmm. that go out and buy these other merchandises, or people that see this merchandise, think it's cool, buy it, and then find out what it's all about. So while there may not have been yeah. growth as far as the game goes, there has been growth for Blizzard overall.
It's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
There's speaking also a lot to be said for like.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say quickly. I agree and don't agree. Like, nowadays, Blizzard seems to be almost an entity unto itself, as funny as that sounds. And bear in mind as well, they are owned by Vivendi, and Vivendi has more money than God. So, I mean, I wouldn't really agree with the whole. The industry is recession proof, as Kisslis would very much attest to. Seeing layoffs, you know, left, right, and center, and studios closing down. But, I mean, I do understand what you mean by Blizzard in itself. They're very smart. They know what they're doing, and they know they've got a great product, and they know how to get it out to people.
Uh, So I guess the question I have now is the sheer popularity, the sheer number of people who were waiting in line for both days of BlizzCon ticket sales, is that proof of the recession being not as likely to hit a company like Blizzard?
I think today is proof that it has not hit them at all. I mean, within 25 minutes of them selling the group of tickets they had, they were sold out. To put that into comparison, the Penguins game here in Pittsburgh on Tuesday and Thursday, the tickets here went on sale Friday, were sold out in 10 minutes. BlizzCon, for geeks, nerds, whatever you want to call them, Blizzard's loyal fan base, is the equivalent of a NHL Stanley Cup final game.
That's an interesting point. I think also something
The
that, oh, sorry, go ahead.
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Something that I think Blizzard is providing that currently they are one of the very few entertainment mediums, whatever you wish to call them, that do, is they provide you not only with the game and like the mechanics itself. But unlike most video games or movies, you kind of create your own story. So in a way, you have a stake in the world. And I think that's part of the reason why it's doing so well, because it provides you not only with just the game in which you are a dude, but it is your dude, it is your character, and it provides you in a way with inspiration as well as entertainment. So that's why I think it can transcend just the video game and get into books and get into, you know, characters and web comics and everything else.
So,
For sure. Don't, Baron, I'm sorry, Medros, go ahead.
I mean, if you compare the numbers of, or the financial stability of a show like E3, held in LA, the LA Convention Center, at its heyday, had hundreds of thousands of people attending throughout the week of the show. Compare that to Blizzard, holding the show in Anaheim across the street from our good friends at Disneyland or Disney World or whatever it is out there. Is it proof that Blizzard is doing something right that other game makers aren't? That people are willing in the tens of thousands to line up on a bright sunny Sunday or Saturday morning to try and beg and plead their way into tickets when E3 can't get even close to a sellout?
I think it's a kind of a weird matter of like almost the content of the show. Like, for example, Tokyo Game Show is almost always way more popular than E3 because E3 has much more of an industry flavor to it. If you are in the industry or are trying to get into the industry, then E3 is great. And I mean, of course, it's also a little haven for gamers and there's, you know, fun stuff and everything like that. But it's so dependent on, you know, the collaboration and cooperation of multiple companies from Atlus to EA to, you know, well, okay, not Midway anymore, but everything in between. And Blizzard is it's so fan enriched in a way that I think it's almost kind of like a big theme park for people because it's like as opposed to like kind of like diluting everything by having, you know, okay, there's Blizzard, and then there's Activision, and then there's EA, and then there's this, and then there's THQ. You're only concentrating on one enormous brand with only three main titles, and I think that it's almost kind of easier to concentrate on that as a gamer, as a fan, as an artist, as a lore master, as anything. While E3 just has a much more of an industry information, infotech, networking sort of idea to it.
But if you look at it like that, you would think that E3 would do better because it would technically, quote unquote, appeal to a larger audience, not only those who are WoW players.
Yeah, but I
Yeah,
guess in a
that's
way,
true.
it's maybe. No, yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Maybe it's the idea that, like, BlizzCon is kind of like a theme park for adults, where it's like you go there to learn and just be spoiled and have fun, as opposed to E3, where in a way you could be like, you know, hey, I need to get a new job, or hey, I need to, you know, see what my poor little game studio needs to make, or else I'm going to sink. But I don't know. I'm kind of talking out of my ass here.
BlizzCon is the Disneyland, Disney World for WoW nerds. Pretty much. To compare that to E3, one of the participants in E3, Microsoft, came out this week and said, hey, we're producing a new version of the Zune called Zune HD. They did that specifically to get people interested in coming to E3 to hear the newest advancement in the Xbox 360. Blizzard, on the other hand, I'm sorry, Activision Blizzard, on the other hand, has said, hey, there is a convention here for people that play our game or play our games. It's not, I mean, it's called BlizzCon. It's not called WoWCon. So Blizzard just saying, hey, here's a convention for our fans to see our newest stuff, whether that's just using it as an example, not saying they're actually coming out with this, but World of Warcraft 2 or StarCraft 2 or I don't even know what, Diablo 3 or the new MMO they're coming out with. It's a chance for the fans to see that, get merchandise, meet up with people that they have played at the same time in those games. That made absolutely no sense. But I mean, like, to have guild meetups or podcast meetups. I know for a fact that given the opportunity with a ticket, I would love to go to BlizzCon and report for a podcast such as Group Quest or All Things Azeroth or The Instance. I would love that opportunity because it'd be a chance to meet those people and to get to meet my fellow geeks, nerds, loyal fan base, whatever you want to call them. I know I keep using geek and nerd, but I call them as I see them.
Hey, it's considered like a good thing these days. Like now people exactly. think it's cool to be a gamer, and instead of like beating us at school, they're trying to become us.
Right. I mean, World of Warcraft is one of those games that's popular with jocks and geeks and whoever else. It's a very inclusive game, and I think BlizzCon is a bigger embodiment of that.
That's a good point. I mean, do you guys think that in a small way at least that we are going to see an expansion of this? I mean, I mentioned in the chat room they were holding a contest for a theme park. Could they maybe even do a theme park or maybe a more long-term thing, maybe next to headquarters in Irvine?
Here's what
I
personally
think that's
think
a little bit
Blizzard
fantastical.
Should do.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's quite all right. Here's what I think Blizzard should do as far as BlizzCon goes. I believe they did this similarly on an international level, where they had BlizzCon here in America, and then they had the Worldwide Invitational or something in France. I remember Patrick Beja, I believe it was, said something about that. What they should do here in the United States is they should hold a BlizzCon West and a BlizzCon East. Expand it, hold it the same day, but hold it in Anaheim and then hold another one on the East Coast, say in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or New York or something, to give fans the opportunity to go. Bless you. Anyways. But my point is so that more fans can go without having to incur the cost of traveling as far as they do now. I know for me, if I was spending money on just the ticket to get to BlizzCon, I'd go in a heartbeat. Or, yeah, someone mentioned in the chat room, go to Orlando. Go someplace, another place warm on the East Coast, just not during hurricane season.
Vancouver's nice and sunny at least twice a year.
That's true, yeah.
That's Tuesday morning and Wednesday afternoon, right?
Yes, something like that. Only twice a year, though. And it can be in any month.
Wow, I think
I would go to Vancouver
right now.
I would definitely vote for a Winnipeg BlizzCon. I'd be happy to work with Blizzard to set that up and make all the arrangements.
Medros, you guys couldn't even keep the Jets there. So what's, I mean, be kind of
Hey
hard to
now,
beat.
hey now.
Ooh, them fighting words.
Don't bring
I
it up, Jessica.
I moved when I was like 5.
Don't
bear in mind
their
as well
fears.
that Blizzard moving BlizzCon to any other location would incur amazing costs. I mean, even everything from porting around that giant statue of Illidan and all of their displays and all of the technology, things can get damaged, things can get lost, things, you know, I'm sorry, I hate to be a killjoy, but it's like, you know, you have to look at the reality of the situation. It would cost them probably hundreds of thousands of dollars to cart that whole thing, you know, to even one other location in the U.S., much
Ether
less.
Etherjammer is saying in the chat is very true. Wherever they take the Illidan statue, they are not prepared.
That's, yeah, wow.
But I'm not, but I'm not actually saying move it. I'm not saying move it. I'm saying keep a version of it in Anaheim.
I want to see
but
it.
Do a version
it's
of
Illidan.
But keep a version of it on the East Coast, too. I think they do that with the Dark Moon Fair. I think there's a real-life Dark Moon Fair where they do that. They move it around each
other. Ah, really?
Or they do,
that's hilarious.
Or they do versions of it in the different areas. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying keep it in Anaheim. Do a BlizzCon West from whatever date it is. Then do a BlizzCon East, or do them at the same time.
But
that way fans of both coasts.
But
make two statues of Illidan.
Okay, can I have one?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Kislets. After you know the mana thing and sorry after the mana thing and now the Illidan thing. I'm sorry, all my affection is lost. I can't.
Oh,
I can't do it.
Man.
Well,
I have to be a little in this.
That's true. Well, you are a little Kislets. But I'm sorry. That was terrible.
Yeah, it was
terrible. Yeah, it's off of group quest. I remember, it's even stupid little things like that I'm sure people could get kind of pissed off about. Like, I remember when, what was it called? Body Works or something like that? Where they had,
all
Science
the
World.
Creepy.
They had
dismembered bodies.
But they were real, and it was a plastic. They were preserved in a weird kind of plastic. But, like, I remember there was a specific statue of a guy riding a horse. And, of course, again, you see all the musculature and veins and all the gross shit like that. And that one was staying over in the States. And I remember I was like, man, I paid money to come see this. And I really wanted to see it. But, I mean, I do see people getting pissy about that. But I doubt that's the least of their worries. So, because, you know, I'm sure Blizzard could be like, hey, guys, we're going to go take a dump in a sidewalk. If you guys want to come around and see it, then come on over. And people would come over. I'm sorry. I love the company, but it's true.
Agreed. People would definitely do that.
Yeah.
For the record, I didn't hear anything that was said.
I'm sorry. It was my fault. You dropped off and I didn't notice.
That's quite all right.
Thank you. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay.
I just
oh,
didn't
I'm
hear
sorry.
What I from Blizzard taking a dump back. Like I heard the part about Blizzard taking a dump, but I didn't hear anything before that.
Well, you have to give it to them though. They know their people and they know how to give people what they're going to pay for. No matter what we say about their patches or, you know, transmedia, they know what people will pay for.
That's true as well. And I mean the argument has been made over. I'm sorry, Magis, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, even kind of jumping or dancing around the recession idea, when you look at what you're getting for like $14 to $17 a month, I think that there's very little room for people to complain. Yeah, you get frustrated. Yeah, boo, patch day, blah, 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 nerf this, boo, death knights, so on and so forth. But it's like you are paying, you know, $15-ish dollars a month for all of this. Blizzard, I mean, what if they up the price, you know? Like, I think that, you know, we as fans and players really do get a lot for our money. And I mean, I can only imagine that Blizzard works very, very, very hard
Yeah, see, that's that, I can applaud Blizzard for everything.
Were there any other topics you wanted us to completely derail on?
No, this is actually the last topic of the show.
Okay.
Derail it a bit longer if you need to.
Well, going back to what we said a moment ago, I think an Illidan statue would be awesome. Just saying. Just putting it out.
That is all.
Chuck.
Well, I was going to say, let's see if the chat room has anything.
Yeah, any questions for us or anything?
I mean, I'm a big proponent of audience
participation.
Audience participation, yeah. What was your PTR question again? I forget. Oh, do any of you participate in the PTRs? If you do, why? If you don't, why not? I personally do because I like to see what's coming from my class when I eventually get to that level.
I do not because I don't have a level 80 character and I'd feel very inadequate next to all these awesome people. And at that, I have very little playtime as is. And I don't really feel like screwing around on another realm. I mean, yeah, it would be cool to see that stuff, but it's like my playtime is so precious and so valuable and so little that I'd rather play the actual game. Besides, there are many, many excellent bloggers, podcasters, everything that are great data miners. So if, you know, if all of a sudden, Sylvanas is a sneeze animation, we'll all know about it. So I'm not worried.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I personally don't, because I don't know much about it, really. Like, I'm good playing the game. I have no desire to go where the bugs are even more readily available to find. I'm just good, really, personally.
Dalaran now with 80% more lag.
Yes.
So, personally, I do participate in the PTRs just to try out new content, and I do submit bug reports whenever I find them. I submit them knowing that there's a good possibility that I'll never hear back from a GM because I don't even think they respond to tickets that are put in on the PTRs. But I do like to do my part and help ensure that patches are a bit better.
No, that's great.
Plus, I have like 280s, yeah. And I've got like two more coming up, so I'm okay.
Oh, fancy. Kisses and I are selfish then. We're selfish. You never mind your bugs.
Hey, I always report people who sell gold and stuff. If anyone listens,
I do too. I'm sure. They
Everybody
do.
Should report gold sellers.
I agree.
Okay, I just got that. Well, the chat room just asked for those of us who do play on the PTR, do you feel that it's dull since you've done it twice?
You know, my perspective on that is a bit mixed. I mean, I until recently, I probably wouldn't have said yes. But then I got into the beta for Wrath, and I did notice early in Wrath that it in actual live Wrath, I mean, it was a bit it did feel a bit repetitive. It did feel a bit like I've been here before. I've done this so many times. I don't want to do it again. But then I just realized that it's that was about testing. This was actually about actual real progress. So yeah, it was a bit hard the first few times, but I also used that to my benefit because I was able to use the knowledge I gained from the beta to improve how fast I leveled through actual Wrath. And I perfected that too now, so.
For me, as far as playing on the PTR and then playing in the game, I don't find it dull at all, because like Medras, I realize in one case, I'm testing it for Blizzard to improve upon it. In the game, I'm playing it as it was improved. But as far as the Wrath of the Lich King beta, I actually got a beta key, even though I had only just started playing the game replaying the game about then. And then I quit again because of the Wrath of the Lich King beta. I had found the Wrath of the Lich King beta to be fun, and then I got to see what the Death Knight, how they were progressing. And I got to help that progression. And that was, for a new player to World of Warcraft, that was the coolest thing in the world. As for quitting, I quit because after I had uninstalled the beta, I went to go install the regular game again, and it wouldn't load on my machine at the time, which was an Acer Aspire. And I couldn't get the regular game to install, including Burning Crusade, and tech support was no help. So I just said, well, I'll quit for now, and because I didn't have the money to pay for it anyways, and if I want to come back, I'm going to come back. And I came back.
They always do.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an addiction. Come on now.
I have no addiction. I have no problem.
That's what I say about mana, and no one ever listens to me. Like,
excuse me,
totally.
So if I dangle the mana potion in front of you, no problems there?
No problem whatsoever. What type of mana potion are we talking about? Like a big one, a super one, or minor? Like, what are we talking about?
Biggest one they've got.
Runic?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Even if it's a big, shiny, blue potion and all the mana is slushing inside. No, I'm fine.
Kissless?
Yes.
Count backwards. Backwards right. To 10.
See, backwards for me, there's no problem as far as that concerns, because I also play the Alliance, so. That's right. I'm a spy for both sides. I'm a double agent.
Anyways, that's
for the horse.
That's gonna wrap it up for this episode of Grip Quest. Thank you, Kissless, Kadistra, Lou, and Sinful for coming on the show. Any final words, folks?
Thank you very much for inviting us, or me anyway. Speak for myself.
Yeah.
All so, I have to say is for the Alliance.
Blood and honor.
Uh-huh. Yes. For the Horde. Moo. Moo.
All right. Toot. So, Kissless, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, I have kind of a silly little comic I've been working on, non-WoW related. But if you ever want to drop me a line on the game, I'm on Kil'jaeden. And it's just Kissless.
And Kadistra.
If you want to email me, kelly@wowa.com, the comic, of course. And you can find me on the internet. And in-game, I'm Kadistra on Kil'jaeden. Big fuzzy cow. I'm also Kadistra.
And Lou.
You can find me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/LouGhilardi. My last name's GHELIARDI. You can find me in-game on the Argent Dawn server as Verix, VERYX, and on the Earthen Ring server as Victor, VICHTOR. That's a Horde play. That's a Horde character. And then I'm actually starting my own podcast called Tales of a Noob. It's going to be World of Warcraft through the eyes of a fairly new player. And finally, I'm on Brigwyn's Hunter Lodge blog. I'll be blogging as a new hunter.
Cool. Also, I think, Caddy, Kadistra, you don't mind me saying both of us can be found under our names in Twitter. So, Kadistra and Kissless.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for joining this group quest today, and we will have the show published shortly. Check us out at allthingsazeroth.com/groupquest, and thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, in the group, and on the podcast when it's released. Take care and see you later.
Thanks all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Group Quest. This is your announcer, Grizzly Smith. We look forward to your comments at allthingsazeroth.com/groupquest. Theme music for the show is Intended Force from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. This program is copyright 2009 by Dwight Walbridge Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 license.